Thanks for listening to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. I first met my next guest, Hal Bidlack, several years ago when he was the MC of The Amazing Meeting, which is an annual get-together. In fact, I think it's America's largest get-together of skeptics, organized and for the benefit of the James Randi Educational Foundation. Randi is both a mutual friend of ours and one of my personal heroes. And it is through Randi that we learned about some bomb detectors that were being used in Iraq that were no good. They couldn't detect anything. And instead of saving lives, they were actually costing lives. Hal was asked by Randi to talk about this to a group from the Department of Defense and the Department of State and the Department of Homeland Security in October of 2009, a speech that was picked up by several media outlets, and that helped generate some additional attention to the fake device. And just this week, the guy behind that device, a British businessman named James McCormick, was convicted of fraud and sentenced to 10 years in jail. So I've asked Hal, who's a retired U.S. Air Force officer, to join me here on the show and talk about this. Hi, Hal. How are you?
Good morning. Well, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Tell my audience what James McCormick made and why it didn't work.
Well, McCormick is in a long line of con men. This type of fake device based on basically dowsing rod nonsense has been around for a long time. But he kind of crossed the line from fraud into moral depravity when he took these dowsing rods that were originally sold in golf pro shops as joke golf ball detectors. And he would peel the label off, add a coax cable, a little box with a card, and he called them bomb detectors. And so in addition to fraud in terms of stealing people's money, he stole people's lives because these were sold to the Iraqi military and, frankly, other places around the world for tens of millions of dollars, a device that perhaps cost him $20 or $25 to put together. He sold anywhere between $15,000 and $60,000 each to the Iraqi military and others. So not only did he cheat them on the price, he obviously cheated them on the device. And the principle behind this, he claimed, was that you would take a card upon which a word was printed, like dynamite or cocaine or anthrax powder, whatever it is you're searching for. You would slide this card into a plastic slot. There are no batteries, no wires, no mechanisms. He would then, the little plastic box connected with a coax cable to this rod, which had a collapsible antenna on a really good set of ball bearings, and the slightest little human movement as the person would stand there walking in place to generate some kind of quantum field would cause the wire to swing. And it made use of a very well-known human psychology factor known as the ideomotor effect, which is that we will tend to lean imperceptibly toward things we're looking at. And so as long as you know where the device is, if you have a hand grenade in front of you, the device would seem to work because inevitably it would lean toward it. Of course, when you blind the study, it doesn't work at all. So he basically cheated people and, frankly, contributed to mass murder.
Yeah, it's the latter part of it that galls me. Cheating we've seen so many times through psychics and other con men like that. But in this case, these guards in Iraq were told, let's say a truck was coming up to a checkpoint and the guards would take out one of these devices that McCormick said could detect bombs, and they would hold it there and they would go around the truck and hold it and hold it and hold it, and it would never indicate that there was a bomb on board. And so they would let that truck through the checkpoint, and then a few seconds later, boom, explosions, and there have been as many as 155 people killed in some of these explosions. As a matter of fact, last month, April, was the deadliest month for bombings in nearly 5 years. And the problem here, Hal, is not just that James McCormick has been convicted. That's the good news. The bad news is that Iraq is still using these things.
Well, indeed, it's even worse than that. I mean, I think we celebrate the fact that this guy is going to jail, but we recognize that there are hotels in Indonesia that are, quote, protecting, close quote, their guests with these devices. There are police forces around the world using them. And I'm an old military policeman, used to work with military working dogs quite a bit. And, you know, of course, dogs are the best bomb detectors, but he was taking advantage of cultural norms in the Mideast, which are not really friendly toward dogs being part of your daily life there. And so he would say, well, I've got a way to do this. And it was just, I kind of understand how someone can cheat at a card game or cheat someone out of something, figuring, hey, the sucker deserved it. But to sell a device that you genuinely in your heart know will result in human death and suffering, I don't know how you sleep at night.
The judge in the British court, Richard Horn, who handed down the sentence on Thursday, said he was, quote, wholly satisfied, he said this to McCormick, wholly satisfied that your fraudulent conduct in selling so many useless devices for simply enormous profit promoted a false sense of security and in all probably contributed to causing death and injury to innocent individuals, unquote. That's a very damning statement and a very true statement that we know. Now, here's the question for Americans who are listening in. When we hear that Iraq was spending this money, we have to ask, was some of that our money? Are those tax dollars that went there? Do you know the answer, Hal?
Well, it's kind of a complicated answer. Technically, it was Iraqi money. It was Iraqi government money. And indeed, this is such a bizarre situation. It's fraudulent devices that then are involved in bribery to sell fraudulent devices. So within the Iraqi, essentially the national police in this particular instance, it was theoretically Iraqi money. But, of course, given the literally billions, trillions of dollars that were going into Iraq, it's kind of difficult to think, you know, what that would mean in terms of whether that's truly American money or not. Could they have afforded that money if it wasn't for the other American money coming in? I think essentially it was American money,
not directly. Were there Iraqi officials who knew that McCormick was selling bogus bomb detectors and still took them because they took a little money under the table?
Well, that seems to be the case. The New York Times interviewed me shortly after my speech, and then CBS News did a story on it. In fact, if your listeners are interested, if they simply search for, you know, fake bomb detectors on CBS News' website or Google it, they'll see a very interesting video that they shot showing these poor soldiers who I'm sure thought it worked. And the New York Times story, the guy talks about how he would go into these offices of these military, or again, national police people in Iraq. And I think the sense was that some people were highly suspicious, but, you know, you don't challenge the general, or else you end up without a job and out of luck.
What was the reaction from the people at Defense and State and Homeland Security to your speech?
Well, it was, you know, Mr. Andy, who you mentioned, is kind of the real hero when they see he goes back literally decades of fighting this kind of chimera. And interested people should go to randi.org, randi.org, and learn more about it. But this audience, Mr. Randi often will talk about, as a professional magician, and of course I'm the most amateur of magicians, that scientists and engineers are often the easiest people to fool with magic techniques. And if you're doing it in a show in Vegas, people applaud. But if you're doing it as a con man, people spend money and lives can be lost. Because people with a lot of letters after their name, and I'm one of those, often think they can't be fooled. And so the reaction was interesting because I had a couple of dowsing rods with me. I should say detection devices with me, not McCormick's, but similar ones, which Mr. Randi had gotten. And in these devices, there were printed circuits. But what was very interesting is the printed circuits were different from the two devices. Now, they were identical machines sold by the same company. This was a different thing called a X50 Lectra search device. But they were actually, Mr. Randi was able to do some research and learn that they were actually out of refrigerators and TV remote controls, bolted in with wires that weren't connected, and a battery that was connected to a dial that turned on a light. And the audience, when I basically said, you know, I did some basic simple magic, I said, I can fool you with this, but I can also fool you with this dowsing rod, because if you don't know about the ideomotor effect, the fact that people naturally turn toward things, you don't realize it. And it was interesting because the fellow who was introduced me after I gave the keynote speech, there was an area where all the people had their demonstration products that they were trying to sell to the Department of State, and he warned the audience, he said, be careful when this Bidlack guy's walking around your stuff. But these were actually real machines that actually had spectrometers and things that did stuff.
Are any of these bogus bomb detectors being used in the U.S. that you know of, Hal?
Well, certainly, to my knowledge, not by the military, not by police forces that I know of. It wouldn't surprise me if a sheriff's department somewhere, in reading the literature and not knowing any background, might have purchased something similar. The problem is a lot of people make these devices, so I think people should be, you know, aware and always questioning these things. I don't know of any, but I wouldn't rule it out.
I hope that the British prosecutors who put McCormick in jail for 10 years can now go after the money as well. I don't know that you can compensate the hundreds or thousands of people who have died because his bomb detectors were bogus, but the man made something like $80 million off of this and deserves, to me, 10 years in jail is not nearly enough. But Hal, I thank you for your work on this, and I appreciate you joining me here today.
My pleasure. People interested, just go to AmazingMeeting.com and Randy.org, and they'll learn more about it.
That's Hal Bidlack, retired U.S. Air Force officer, national security aide, and mutual friend of the great and amazing James Randi. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.